Here comes Belsky, our guy from BMO Capital Markets, chief investment strategist, and he's the leader of the investment strategy group. I have not been asked to be part of the investment strategy group. I mean, think I've known Belsky forever. I could be at least a part of the group. He's the leader. I could just blend in, couldn't I?
You could just throw things out there, spitball a little bit with the rest of the group?
Just nod a lot. Yep. Good point, Brian. Mm-hmm. Excellent point, Brian. Hey, how about happy hour, Brian? You know, things like that. Belsky is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We saw you yesterday on the TV. I believe you were on the CNBC. Your glasses game is excellent. How many glasses do you have?
Well, listen, first off, thanks for having us. Second, I'm a value guy, knowing, you know, obviously, you know, I'm from Wilmer, so I'm a big Warby Parker guy. I mean, so I can get two or three for the price of one.
Yeah.
I probably have five or six pairs of glasses.
Oh, I think he's downplaying it here again. I mean, we see him a lot. You have different glasses on every time, and they work. Harrigan, you agree, right?
They make him look very studious, like he's really, I mean, this
well,
is your money.
Are you saying when he's in studio he looks dumb and then he's on TV?
When he comes in here, he's not usually wearing the glasses, but all of a sudden he goes on TV and I got to be Mr. Smart Guy.
Oh, so Dave's suggesting you don't even need the glasses. They're an effect.
Oh,
they're
gosh.
A prop. Whoa.
I'll tell you two things quickly. First of all, there's a branch in BMO that has bets on what pair of glasses I'm going to wear when I come and do a branch visit.
I like that. It's very good.
Secondly, I was just telling somebody at dinner the other night that people do not recognize me when I don't have my glasses on. When I have my glasses on, they recognize me. So now when I'm walking through airports, I make a practice of not wearing glasses. Otherwise, people will come up to you and say, Brian, what do you think of Microsoft? You know, I'm there to walk to the gate, please. I mean, thank you very much for stopping me.
Who was that guy who asked you? Do that voice. Who was that right there? All right, so David also sounds like Belsky has a dual life. Like he's one guy with the glasses and without the glasses. I mean,
he's like Superman. You know, the glasses are his suit. He takes them off.
No one. Right, Clark I guess Kent. The dual exists. I'm a North Loop guy 5 months of
Barcelona,
the year. Barcelona guy 7 months.
Barzana, Maison Margot. Then you're not glasses guy. Then you go on TV. Then you're glasses guy. By the way, the original guy is Pat the glasses guy.
I like it.
Yeah, going back to KFAN lore. Okay,
long time. Yeah.
Let's start this. The state of the American economy is fill in the blank.
Steady as she goes. Last time I said that, there's some comments on that. I mean, mm-hmm. people will worry about remember that. And I think, listen, you never, ever, ever discount the U.S. consumer on an annual basis. GDP is coming in at 2.8%. Remember, last quarter was 3%. On an annualized basis, it's still like 3.7%. So we're still growing. But I think what people are missing is that we don't talk enough about that we're still the best house in a kind of in neighborhood that's still pretty volatile around the world, whether or not it's China or Europe. Or clearly what's going on in the Middle East. So I think that's why the U.S. economy has been so strong. And we're going to continue to be strong. And now that rates are kind of starting to soften a little bit, the only kind of blemish that I looked through the year or quarter over quarter growth rates were residential housing. And I think that's probably because, believe it or not, even though the Fed cut rates, the 30-year treasury, 30-year mortgages are based off of the 10-year treasury. So 10-year treasuries have actually gone up. And so that's why mortgage rates have actually gone up. But that's pretty standard after the Fed starts cutting. Rates on the bond market always go up a little bit.
Can I stay with the comparison between the other countries? Because I don't think that's emphasized enough. So, listen, people should hate inflation. People should hate what happened to the economy when the pandemic. The idea that if Donald Trump would have been there, everything would have been magical, that's silly. It's also possible his policies may have worked better. We can have that debate. But when you compare how this country has rebounded compared to other Western nations, expand on that.
Well, you see, is going to Canada, they've had so much change in terms of demographics, and they have a lot of problems with respect to how and what they're paying out, and they've had a lot of problems on the expense side. And their revenues obviously have kind of faltered, meaning they're trying to crank up taxes. And a lot of people are, what's interesting in Canada, that you're seeing people leaving these higher tax provinces going to areas like Alberta, which is a lower tax province. That's our neighbor to the north. In terms of Europe, Europe also has demographic problems. They have more, political problems. And then you've had a war going on there, which has actually caused a lot of inflation on the energy side and on the, on the food side. Remember, the Ukraine is known as Europe's breadbasket in terms of wheat and corn and the like. So that's been a big problem. Now, not to mention China. Oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, I had the good fortune of watching that Commanders game on Sunday. I was watching the Commanders game in the Hail Mary pass.
Yeah,
oh,
for
sure.
That's
what
crazy.
What China's done is a quote-unquote Hail Mary. They're throwing fiscal stimulus and monetary stimulus. They're trying to get things going. And from our lens, I don't think they're going to do very well. And that's why we've said all along that when you're an investor, stay home, stay in America. We've got the best companies on the planet. There's no sense in trying to outsmart yourself and invest elsewhere.
Okay, somebody sends a text here about housing. Why are housing prices so high? That's the real issue. Zero in on that and its impact on the economy.
Well, it's a great question because we've had a real limited amount of supply. I mean, just look at all the apartments going up and the condos going up, trying to go up in Minneapolis. Look at the average. I think I saw last week the average home price in the state of Minnesota is $404,000. Oh, my gosh.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. I go back to when I moved back to Minnie from L.A. in 1993. It wasn't $404,000, I'll tell you that. And so we've seen a lot of inflation there. I think it's probably because of raw material costs, especially the last year, have gone up due to inflation. The last time we saw a major kind of raw material cut was 2020 and 2021 when rates were going down in a lot of wood and pulp and concrete and things like that were really going down. So we've had higher raw material costs. That's why a lot of these builders are not building out. So the affordability with respect to housing has clearly not been there. And so America, even in Minneapolis, I mean, we're way behind on the supply side in terms of building. And that's why I think the next 2 to 3 years, as inflation gets down back down to the Fed's target of 2%, you're going to see raw material costs go down, and you're going to see the builders, a lot of these building companies, start to add supply.
This is Brian Belsky, our friend for a number of decades now, excellent on the economy. You see him on CNBC often. He's with BMO. He's their chief investment strategist. Okay, the tariff conversation, which we've had many times before, but when the former president is out, he just was finished up in North Carolina. I'm sure tariffs came up. What is your sense? Because we can look at this a number of ways that, I mean, Trump fantasizes about the word. It's the greatest word in the English language. He used some of his leverage during his first term. He enacted some tariffs. The Biden folks pushed back at it. Some of those tariffs they kept on. There are individuals who are economists who are fearful of the amount of tariffs that Trump is talking about. And others say, calm down. This is leverage. This is what he's trying to exact from China and other countries. How do you read this whole conversation?
Well, thanks for bringing up that Biden kept a lot of the tariffs. People forget that, number one. Number two, there's an old saying that when you were telling somebody a story, you got to tell them, you got to tell them again, you got to tell them one more time. But Trump tends to do that times three. He keeps on saying the same thing over and over again. It's called perseverating, by the way. But this is classic Trump / art of the deal. It's peace through strength. It's the Reagan type thing on that side, but also on the tariff side, he's just trying to get better terms. That's all this is. He's using this as just like he did with respect to the defense side of things, peace through strength. And this is a negotiating plea. He knows the economy. I don't think he's going to be going all out with respect to tariffs with in terms of China, more so because we want to bring more and more manufacturing back, as did Biden, brought more and more manufacturing back. But I think the Europe side, in the antitrust and the regulation side of things, actually could be a bigger deal with respect to not doing tariffs there, but also being, from a regulatory standpoint, having less regulation.
You mentioned it earlier, and again, Brian Belsky's with us, steady as we go. That's your mantra so often, that you buy America, we'll get through challenges. We've been on this long roll, and you think that long roll is going to continue. But if it's President Harris versus President Trump, they have very different views on the economy. So let's go out 18 months, and it's now July of 2026. Will we see discernible, significant change in the economy if we had the opportunity to witness a Harris economy versus a Trump economy?
I'll put a rider on that, Chad, because you need to know what Congress is. Is Congress split?
Good point.
And remember, the House is the one that has purse strings and spend the money. And so it's a lot of Republicans don't like to hear this, but traditionally Democrats across the board do better, principally because in over a 4-year time period in terms of performance. Now, again, don't send the hate mail. It's mostly because of with the way that the math works out. And the way that the math works out, unfortunately, has, you know, like George W. Bush had 9/11 and the tech wreck, coming out of the tech wreck, which was at the end of the big blow up with respect to the bubble and Clinton, and then had the great financial crisis, and then the fantastic rebound Obama had in 2009, 2010, and 11. So a lot of those numbers are skewed. You got to take two steps back and have some perspective. But I would say this. We think that politics, we know this from our research, politics have nothing to do with the absolute performance of the stock market. It really is about the trajectory of what's going on in the economy and the stocks. And I think you can just say this, that Trump's going to be more business friendly, so that's a positive. On the regulation side, I don't think people are talking enough about the regulation side. Trump's going to be less regulatory. Harris is going to be more regulatory, and taxes are going to go up under Harris with respect to corporate taxes. And that's going to be her big push. Now, whether or not she's going to be able to get that corporate tax hike over and across the finish line really depends upon Congress.
Sure.
So don't give either one of these presidents any credit until we know what the makeup of Congress is.
Good stuff. Always appreciate it. Hopefully we'll see you here soon. And thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, Chad.
Our friend Brian Belsky, Chief Investment Strategist with BMO Capital Markets. Let's touch on a number of sports items. We're going to have some fun with Susie in about 15 minutes. She's made some chili. We'll talk about the chili. We'll talk about various things with Susie. But let's get to Flurry. Let's get to the Mookie nonsense. And one other sports item that I'm forgetting right now. But we're going to get to the, Paige Beckers. And her shoe. Her precedent-setting shoe. All that's next on CCO.